Welcome to the Lion's Mane Podcast, episode 39. Third episode of season 3. It's going so well. I'm so glad that you guys have decided to join us and keep up. Today we have a really fascinating episode about movement competency, what that means, and a little bit about egoism and sports performance and being experts in our own thing and staying in our lanes, and really about working together as a team and how all of our expertise, whether you're a strength coach, a physio, or whether you have a strength coach, a physio, a doctor, a psychologist, all of those things, how we all work together, how that would work in a perfect world. And also about coordination and movement competency, really important topics. And we're joined for this by my friend Michelle Cuevas, and she, you can find her where she lives at Athlete Remedy on Instagram. Unfortunately, she doesn't live anywhere else because she loves the gram, but you can find her there, and we're going to get started immediately on this adventure. You're not going to want to miss it. Michelle, welcome to the podcast. I'm so happy that you are here and we can finally do this and talk about moving around and getting strong and loading things up and unloading things and unlearning things, maybe.
Definitely. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super, super excited to be on the Lion Mane.
Yes, because we both have wild hair, right?
This is so fitting.
Although yours looks amazing and mine was sticking straight up, so I had to put a hat on. So besides having amazing hair, please tell us about yourself. What do you do? Where can they find you on the internet? What's your job?
Hey, well, thanks for having me again. So my name is Michelle. I am based in Miami, born and raised in the beautiful island of Puerto Rico. I'm an athletic trainer by trade, ATC, and I have settled in Miami for, I think more than 15 years now. I lost track. Did my undergrad at UConn, go Huskies, braved the cold and headed south, did a master's at FIU, and I never left. So primarily I work with high school athletes, also collegiate. I show them some love as well, but that's kind of my jam. And you can find me on Instagram because I am obsessed with Instagram. It's really just, I love it. That's where I live. Like, people ask me, hey, do you have a business card? Yes, it's Instagram. It's at Athlete Remedy. Yeah. So you can find me at Athlete Remedy there. And, that's probably the best spot.
The thing I picked up from that is, how the hell did you get up to Connecticut to go to UConn after being born and raised in Florida?
Everybody asked me that, especially being over there. They're like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
You know, it gets cold. And I'm like, yeah, I just, you know, I was for some reason obsessed with the Northeast of the United States.
It's really beautiful up there.
It's absolutely gorgeous. New England, shout out to New England. It's absolutely gorgeous. And I only applied to universities in that neck of the woods. Yeah. Truly. And I visited a few. And when I got there, I was like, this is what I had envisioned in my mind, what university in the United States would look like. And I figured, why not? And it was fantastic. But
yeah, interesting to go from PR to the mainland north.
Yes. Let me tell you, it was definitely rough to come back from Puerto Rico from after like holiday break and go back in like January when it was like the dead center of winter. I just was like, I definitely had my moments of like, what did I do?
I also almost did my PhD at BU because I just think, Massachusetts, Connecticut, it's so beautiful up there, gorgeous. Especially this time of year. I love it.
This is the best time. I mean, I fell in love with the autumn season. It's just, I could like the smells, like apple cider, all these colors. I'm like, oh, but then it gets real.
It is the actual hashtag Instagram Pinterest vibe is the Northeast.
Absolutely. It's beautiful. Yeah. But then, you know, my Caribbean blood was like, yeah, you need to head south. And so thankfully I found myself back in Miami and I never looked back.
Hello, vitamin D. Where?
I was like, how did I even survive up there?
Yeah, for real. Yeah. All right, so we're going to talk about movement competency, and to give a very basic example that will apply to Europeans, I don't know how much it applies to Americans, to be honest, but we grew up playing soccer in the street, and we grew up riding our bikes to school, and we grew up with our parents going jogging for fitness, generally speaking, in Europe. That's just a European thing. Everybody bikes everywhere. Jogging is the general fitness and everybody plays soccer. But that doesn't mean anybody taught us how to do that. And mm-hmm. as somebody who studied biomechanics as well in my sports science work, it's always an experience to see people jogging by in the park and be like, ooh, yikes.
Oh my God, I thought I was the only person that did that.
No, it's horrible. Once you learn it, you can never go back.
You cannot unsee it. I look at people walk and I'm like, I bet you she suffers from shin splints. Like, absolutely. Like, what?
Yeah. 100%. Or riding their bikes and their knees are going in like incredible valgus. And I'm just like, and you're hunchback. And I want to scream at this lordosis that you are somehow showing on a bike. Like, what?
That's incredible. Or you see somebody like, I don't know, a pickup game or something, like playing an actual like sport, right? Team sport or something.
Yeah.
And right. you see and you wonder, wow, how are they able to do that? But you also realize that the body is incredibly adaptive, you know, mechanism. And so absolutely. It will find a way. It doesn't mean that it's the best, but it will find a way to execute what it is that you are asking of it.
Absolutely. But it's almost the same as in psychology. I tell my athletes very often that we all have coping mechanisms that we adapt over time because they helped us at that time. That doesn't mean now that they're helpful or beneficial. It doesn't mean that they're adaptive. They could be maladaptive. They could actually be hurting us, even though they saved us at one time, right? So. Yeah. Those things don't hold out over time. We always have to adjust and we have to purposefully, consciously learn these things that should be, you know, we think they're intuitive. Well, nobody taught me how to ride a bike. Well, nobody taught me how to go jogging. Well, nobody taught me how to cope with my emotions. True.
Absolutely.
But we're having some issues with that in order to get through those things and to perform better. Mm-hmm. We need to learn and readapt.
Yeah, so it's interesting.
Movement competency.
Please absolutely.
Take it away for us.
In a nutshell. It's interesting because, yeah, you going after that thought of, you know, oh, that's it. I learned that one time and that's it. I just don't ever go back to it. And it kind of made a click for me now when you said about, you know, like in psychology, as far as if you even think about to put it in a ridiculously sounding way, maybe, but to make a point. You know, when you were a young kid, you cried for anything, right?
And that was your.
I still cry sometimes.
I'm going to go cry about it right this second, Michelle. What are you talking about?
Yeah. You know, it's like you cried. You cried because you were upset. You cried because something didn't go your way. You cried because you didn't understand, et cetera, et cetera. But obviously, as you, you know, matured and, you know, that's hopefully not your go-to response, right? I mean, not talking about being emotional, that, you know, but making the point of that's not like your like just knee-jerk reaction anymore.
So basically, like, you had to learn angry, instead of crying about it, you learned how to get your ass up off the couch and go open the fridge and make yourself a sandwich instead.
Go make yourself a sandwich, you know.
Don't ask your girlfriend to do it. You go do it right now.
No, don't ask your mom to make you a sandwich.
That is kitchen competency. Congratulations. That was the point of this podcast.
Thank you. The link is in the description.
Yeah, absolutely. Michelle's new cooking show.
Make yourself a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
No, but you know, it's like silly, but that's actually it. And so, you know, when we talk about movement and early on, and certainly, and we're briefly talking about this before we got on, but the, you know, in the United States, like we were talking about physical education. And I remember, you know, having certain, you know, certain competitions and, well, first of all, having physical education and throughout my entire, you know, middle school and high school years, every year, it just wasn't like, oh, I need to get, a semester of it to check the box to be done. And it's once and that's it. And within that time, part of it was, yes, you know, getting burned at dodgeball and, you know,
it still stings, although, baby, still hurts.
Although I was the one doing the burning, but that's, we're not going to talk about that right now.
The Caribbean blood roasts.
You don't even, you step on that court. It's war. But I digress. No, but you know, you had these, that's where you learn and you had playgrounds and you were outside more. And so that was just naturally, I think, and organically embedded as far as like, you know, you go to the playground when you were younger and you start like really getting adaptive to movement and monkey bars. I vividly remember being on monkey bars and learning by myself. Maybe my dad taught me like, hey, this is how you do it. But my body adapting to, you know, to these changes and getting stronger and from there progressing and et cetera, et cetera. But I think it's silly to think that, yeah, you know, you have these young athlete that all of a sudden they just sign up for soccer. Mm-hmm. Great. Cause I want to learn. And man, you see them and they can't even run correctly.
Yeah.
You know, and we're not trying to be like, have them, you know, have the perfect form to sprint like Usain Bolt, but you see them and their like legs are flapping around to the side and you're looking at them like, how are they supposed to now do that cut and dribble a ball like and not get hurt? And so there's been a lack, I think it's been ironic with the growth of youth sports and training year round in just like, you know, youth athletics, high school athletics, as far as all the preparation and in sport, where there's kind of just been a disconnect. I think for example, here in America, for sure, it's really about competition, yeah, getting the edge. You got to train harder. You got to do this, but not necessarily going into the fundamentals.
And there's a reason why strength coaches always say the basics work.
1,000%. But you know, you have, what I've seen, you have coaches that are, you know, sport coaches, let's say, that have the best intentions. Maybe they played basketball, they played soccer, they played lacrosse, volleyball, whatever, when they were growing up. And maybe that was kind of what they did. They, you know, they went on to play the next level, et cetera. So now they want to give back. They want to stay involved in their sport. So now they want to coach it, but they're not prepared. They're not necessarily educated in like, you know, the science of it and in these fundamentals, you know, besides just like, hey, this is how you shoot a basketball. There's so much more to be able to at least like identify like, hey, he needs to work with somebody else
yeah,
to get him right. Because that's not even going to translate onto the court because he can't move right. So I think there's just a disconnect even there.
Yeah. And of course, sports and money and all of that goes into, hey, we're going to charge as much as possible, especially in soccer in the United States is ridiculously expensive, youth soccer. And it's extremely like one of those extremely privileged sports because fees are so incredibly expensive. It automatically cuts down a lot of people who can actually compete. And so it just funnels out automatically at a very young age. And
yeah,
still, even though it's expensive, a lot of kids aren't having like performance coaches. They still have to go, their parents have to go pay for them to have a sports psychologist if they're having that kind of problem, or they just drop out of sport, you know, because of the mental mm-hmm. side. Mm-hmm. And then the performance skills, now they have to go to the local gym and work with the strength coach there because the head coach only does technical and tactical training and heavy, ridiculous punishment conditioning.
Yeah, you're running again.
And that's all they know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, there's look, listen, and I get it. I mean, I played sports. I like anything I could do when I was a young kid and through middle school, high school, I did it. I mean, I was there, I was outside.
Yeah.
I was my parent, like, he's like, I mean, I remember
in the house.
No, I remember asking for a Game Boy. This is like a throwback here. Like Nintendo.
Which one did you have? Cause I'm old too.
Well, this is going to be the tragic story out here. Dad, I want a Game Boy. I want a Game Boy. No, like you can just go play outside. Like what? So I did not get to have a Game Boy. I begged for a Nintendo to bet. No. So I would play it, you know, at my cousin's house, at some friend's house, but for a limited time. Like, I mean, my dad was very much into, you know, no, that's not really conducive for you to just stay there in front of the TV and doing this. Like there's better things you can do. So what did I do? I did ballet. I was rollerblading. I did basketball, volleyball, you know, soccer. I learned how to like, you know, golf swing, tennis, like anything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so yeah. So eventually I got like a Sega Genesis.
Probably secondhand too.
And like, I think it was brand new, but I mean, I remember kind of being like, cool, but I was also like, oh, you know.
I got a Game Boy Color secondhand when like the new DS came out because my parents were like, first of all, go climb that tree. It's the same thing. Like, no, it's not.
Yeah. Is the Game Boy up in the tree? Like, because I'll go get it.
Yeah, I'm into that.
Like, I'll get that.
Yeah. Can I like sit on the branch and play with it, or how does that work exactly?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're yeah. like, swing set that we built for you 12 years ago, go swing on it. It's like, I don't think it's the same.
Yeah, no. So, you know, it's a very different upbringing, and that's fine. You know, and I can definitely appreciate hard work, and yeah, sometimes you got to just get out, like, you know, you're running for punishment. I can appreciate all that. So like, you know, it's not like I am totally separate from like the realness, right? Mm-hmm. Of what happens in sport, and that's fine. But yeah, there's definitely, you know, a disconnect, and it's crazy because, you know, I see more and more, even among professionals, you know, in like the movement world and the training world, that there's also disconnect there. So, oh, totally. And I can definitely empathize with like a, you know, parent that, yeah, played for their kid to do club soccer, like boom. And they are expecting to get whatever the kid needs is when it's soccer related there. That's what they're expecting. So of course they're going to welcome, you know, any conditioning, any training in their eyes. That's like extra, like, oh, great. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, like you said, like now they have to what, go and pay, you know, somebody for private training, like what, you know,
another $500 a month, no,
another yeah program, okay, separate from club soccer, okay, well maybe I do that, and now maybe they, you know, they're dealing with some, you know, pulled muscle, maybe they sprained an ankle, and now they're dealing with some back pain, and so now they got to go see like a physio, a physical therapist, or like, hey, maybe they have, you know, an ATC at their high school, great. Go see the athletic trainer, like, you know, but if not, then they have to go pay for that. I mean, it gets, I can definitely empathize with that. And so, you know, in a perfect world, we would all just get along and communicate with each other, right? But it becomes this segmented, you know, process.
We're also super egotistical.
I mean, oh my God.
Absolutely the pits when it comes to, I know everything, shut up and get out of my face.
Like, how many letters do you have after your name? And let's compare. It's like, you know, like I have 8 more certificates than you do. So
I know the credentialism is disgusting,
you know,
and it also does not say anything about how we coach, which is a big reason why personally, I have turned away young athletes from working with me and told them to just go pick up another sport. Like, I know you play soccer, but go try swimming, like go join, fencing one time a week if you can handle it, or like do something twice a month just so you can move differently. You need generalized movement, first of all.
Oh my goodness,
talking about the worst coordination in the world some of these soccer players having, and they need sports that have better coordination, like swimming, like gymnastics, like track and field, things like that. Okay, go don't come work with me, go play another sport, you can get the same shit there, and then come see me next year.
Yeah. And you know, it's crazy because I will even say to that, because there's, of course, there's been this big, big kind of rising debate, you know, recently, right? As far as like playing multiple sports and early specialization. Great. You know what? I'm even going to argue, and this is, you know, we're going to get crazy here, but fine. Let's even say that you can't or don't want to play multiple sports, whatever, because you're a baller, you play basketball, that's it, that's your ticket out, I get it. Okay, so you don't have time to, you know, go, I don't know, go swim, or do lacrosse, or do something else, fine, but you do have money, but you, let's say, you're working now with somebody that you're training, like you're doing physical training, not for skill sport, but for conditioning, etc. Great. Why, again, if you're working with a coach, with a strength coach, let's say, a performance coach or trainer that is having you do the same movements that you do in your sport, but now he or she has added bands to that movement or plates, you're getting played. And here's what I mean. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I mean, like, I can hear in the back of my head, do you know that clip from Cardi B going, what is the reason? What is the reason?
Yes.
That's exactly what goes on in my head when I see shit like that on Instagram.
And you know where I see that a lot? I see that a lot in basketball, but I see that a lot in baseball.
Yeah.
And man, talk about a growing epidemic of like chronic, you know, pain and injury with these young players having elbow issues, shoulder issues, and you know, in an 11-year-old.
Kid, I mean, having Tommy John's with 13. Are you kidding
me? Don't even get me started, right? But I listen, I'm in some of these groups on Facebook, and I talk and I listen, and like I kind of ask. That's how I stay up to date with like the parents side of things, and because I want to know like what's you know, how can we remedy all these things, right?
Facebook groups are dangerous though.
they are dangerous. I kind of stay low key. I always am helpful. I never like try to like bash, but it's like this mystery, like, hey, my you know, little Timmy, you know, he's 13 and you know, he's playing up. So he's playing with the, you know, U15s because he's whatever, his coach. And, you know, he's got, you know, 7 games a week. I don't know. And his shoulder hurts. We bought this brace for him, or we, you know, or we put this sleeve on him and it's just not going away. It's like, oh my God. But I digress. And then you see him. Yeah, he's been working with a strength coach, and you see a clip of it that they've shared, and they've got a band, and they're a pitcher, and literally all they're doing is the same motion. Like, how is this gonna, like, I need to get stronger. What? And so it's almost like, and I tell the kids all the time, like, listen, you need to pay attention, and you know, not that you need to know all this science and be so, you know, prepared, but you need to at least just be aware and kind of, you know, connect the dots a little bit better. Because if you can do that for yourself, you're going to be able to take care of your body, because that's yours. And you're going to be able to kind of, you know, maybe smell bullshit, because it's very fancy to have, you know, I've got all these tools and things, and we're going to do this workout I saw on YouTube with cones, and I'm going to throw frisbees at you while you dodge, because that's going to work on, you know, like while you're carrying, you know, you're being pulled from a, you know, from a band, but that's going to make you stronger. Like, okay, well, it doesn't translate to your sport.
No.
And that I think is worse. So even if you, if the argument of like play multiple sports is not your jam, fine. Please don't then go into the gym and work with somebody who is only repeating the same movements that you're already doing in your sports, but now adding weight to it. It's a recipe for disaster. So work on the other movements, at least.
The opposite one.
The opposite. Like, at least, because think about it. Yeah, like, if you're constantly throwing, and you're moving your arm that way, like, I don't know, maybe you should try that. Or, like, how about we work on the other arm? Yeah. Why don't you use that to throw? Okay, but you still, it's still part of your body.
And you use it to generate power.
And so, you know, it's wild. It's wild.
Especially when you're talking about pitch count, and like, the kids have no concept of how many pitches they've thrown, and their coaches don't count it either. And they're playing 3 games a week and then going to performance training and doing the same number of reps as they threw pitches.
That's it. So that's it right there. Yeah. So maybe they'll be keeping, let's even argue that, like, maybe you do keep track. Fine. I'll even give you that. Oh yeah. He only pitched this much. Great. But he had 2 games.
Max velocity. Like, what are we talking
max
about?
Max velocity. Oh, he only pitched. Yeah, he only pitched in the 1 game. Okay, well, what did he do in the 2nd game? Oh, he played catcher. Oh, great. He was a shortstop. Fantastic. And then 2 other days of that, he was in the, you know, at the facility. What did they do? They did the same thing, same motion. So now, like, yeah, you need to add that. That's still, like, stress on that. But anyway,
management for youth sports is not
it's crazy, you know. And so it's tough. It's like this uphill battle, because again, I do think you have coaches that are very, very well, and you know, good intention, but they just don't have the education. And fine, I'm not saying go get all these certifications, but at least have the awareness to, and put the ego aside. You know, have some humility enough to be like, you know what, you need to go work with somebody else, or I need to bring somebody who knows about training, movement, to better help my players.
And strength coaches, you aren't exempt from this. When you need to call in the physio because you know good and damn well you cannot rehab this athlete, that they're too far gone, you need to send them to the doc or the physio, and we can't do it enough.
That's another thing I've been seeing. The blending of, there's definitely more of a gray area now, I feel like, within that, right? Like, and I think part of it is because the client, right, whether it's a, you know, it's a young athlete, you know, an adult, whatever, somebody who's into fitness, whatever, working, like, they expect now their personal trainer or their strength coach to also
one-stop shop.
Yeah. And at first, I'll be honest, at first I was like, what do they think they're doing? You know, because I'm on the other side. I'm like, I would never say, hey, yeah, come work with me for performance. It was like, yeah, whatever, I can do that. Like, we're going to do some sprints, we're going to do this. Like, sure. I would never do that. So I'm like, wait, why are they now, you know, just, oh, cool, because you have a hypervolt. Like, what?
A hypervolt.
You know what I'm talking about, right? All of a sudden I see, I'm like, wait, you're a strength coach, or like you're a personal trainer, and why you have a table and you have your client out on the table and like you're doing this, you're like, yeah, you know, recovery and rehab. Like, what? Like, oh yeah, my personal trainer said this, or like my strength coach was talking to me about my ankle sprain and I've been doing this. It's like, well, you know, the blending of that is I think is good in a way, but it's, you got to also kind of know where
you got to know where your lane's at,
where like, your lane is, your expertise.
Stuff. I can do the rehab stuff too, but you can't be an expert in 10 things.
You can't.
And so if your people are paying you and expecting you to be an expert in something, then you better be an expert for what they're paying you for, and for what you're not an expert in, send them somewhere else.
Like, yeah. Geez. But I think it's that, it's like the money thing. Like, well, you know, I'm getting paid for a private session, X amount of money. And I don't want them to go anywhere else, because then I'll lose them, because then over there, the physio will say that they need to be doing this for 2 weeks. And then now that's 2 weeks that I, you know,
yeah.
Whereas if you think about it, for the betterment of that athlete, like that's not going to bother you, because you know that they're going to do better. And then guess what? They're going to come back to you when it, you know, when they need that performance side. Plus now you have this network, now you have this relationship with this other person, and it's definitely more powerful. And so
100%.
I don't know, but there'd be egos out here.
Ooh, it's tough. So how do we improve movement competency? Because we know from like a neurological standpoint, and we were talking about this beforehand as well, things like, for example, we could just go with coordination. Coordination is interesting because there are adults who are uncoordinated AF and never realize it. And it's just like a just complete lack of movement competency. I mean, I used to combine strength and conditioning with personal training when I was working in a facility. Yeah. And it paid the bills, whatever.
Oh, of course. And,
I mean, the intense, there was a lot of value that I gained from working with Gen Pop. I'll put it that way. I learned so much. You've learned so much so fast working with Gen Pop. But seeing full titty adults just not being able to hinge their hips, not being able to lift their arms straight up over their head without flexing their ribs. And when I would cue them and be like, this is what I want to see, they don't know how to do it. Like they don't have that feeling. They have no proprioception in order to say, you know, I can do an A march or an A skip or even, you know, a reverse lunge with my arms up over my head. Just simple things that we totally take for granted.
Yes.
I'll even have professional soccer players. I work with several pro players here in the area, I'll say. and they cannot get their hips in a hinge position. No matter how hard we try, we have to use tactile cueing and all kinds of sneaky stuff in order to even get them to feel it the first time. And then they're like, oh, okay, yes, I want you to feel that. I want you to do that. Mm-hmm. And just a complete lack of movement competency in certain areas that are severely underused. So how do we get that back? Because we know with mirror neurons and brain plasticity and stuff like that, I mean, the brain can do it. The nervous system can do it. We just have to make sure that we're implementing it.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting, if you are in the like sports world and all of a sudden have to work with general population.
Yeah.
You experience that. I've experienced that too. But you know, I have found that it's easier to get like these small wins, these unlocks, because there's also, for me, like there's like no pressure, you know, there's no like big game coming up. There's no expectation of this like high level of performance that, you know, they need to achieve. And it's riding on what I do with them, you know, on this ankle.
Gonna be mad at you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, oh man, no pressure. I have a championship next week and my ankle is purple. Go fix it. Ooh, okay. You know, and so it's crazy. And so you'll find these people, like these, you know, adults are into fitness and, you know, maybe they get back into working out, they join a gym, maybe they do CrossFit, maybe they go, you know, do a boot camp style, what have you. And all of a sudden, yeah, these like bad movement patterns are like reinforced when now they've got to, you know, swing a kettlebell above their head and like jump up, you know, over a box. No wonder. So I think the way that we, you know, that we help improve that is, that's it. That's the answer. I don't know. I just like all of this, it just like multiplies in my mind. Like, oh my God, how can we do this? And, you know, I think about like what education, or like, who do you educate? Like the athlete, the end person, or like, they don't really understand concepts. So like, you have to bring things down like very simply. You know, I think becoming more aware, like I was saying, like of like your own body is like number one. Something that I've really been getting into, like nerding out over, especially quarantine, has been more like the neuro side of things. Mm-hmm. And it's been crazy because it has changed totally like my approach to to like everything I do and how I see things. And, you know, now I can look at somebody maybe doing these other aggressive like therapies or, you know, maybe soft tissue manipulations or like, you know, like trying to load whatever, trying to repeat a movement like hinge, you need to hinge at your hips. And, you know, it's made me better when it comes to just coaching and that cueing that you were talking about.
Yeah.
I think starting with awareness, like teaching them awareness and like, how do you do that? What I've done that has helped has been, it's going to sound very like kumbaya, but I literally have worked with either athletes or their parents, because now that, you know, they ask me for help too. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I start with like breathing, mm-hmm. which is a whole nother thing.
Which people don't know how to do anyway, period.
Don't know how to do. So I've been nerding out hard on breathing and neuro stuff, and starting with that and getting them to feel, to like, you know, how does that feel? Having them close their eyes and like, okay, I want you to feel, you know, feel the ground, like literally think about your right foot and your left foot touching the ground. Can you feel mm-hmm. that? Yes. And literally starting there. And I think doing that, you know, has made like a huge impact on them. And like, they'll say it even before I say like, how does that feel? Or does that feel different? They'll tell me, wow, I feel a difference. You know, I think, you know, I'm a big believer in like, well, I just need to share, like, how do I share this with like all these people? Like, I'm just going to go tell all these people. And I mean, you know, it's easier said than done, right? You get all excited. I don't know about you. You get all excited. I'm going to go teach a workshop and tell everybody about this. And it's like, wow, that's a tough thing to do. And so that's actually just my approach in even kind of my spiel, right? So like, you know, on Instagram, going back to there, because that's where I live, like, I try to, you know, make things simple and make it relatable. Like, I'm talking to like the high school athlete, like, yo, you need to do this. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, just do it. Just try this or think about it this way. It's kind of like X, Y, Z. Oh, okay. And you start to see changes that way. I'm a big believer too in like collaborations, like networking with other professionals. Like, you know, if I know that these athletes that I know personally are working with these, you know, coaches or trainers, like I try to talk to them and like, hey, you know, this really, I had a conversation with so-and-so where I saw them like, hey, this really worked for them. And I see that they're training with you, and maybe try cueing them this way. Like, you know, you have to put your ego aside.
Yeah, that's so true. So what could we tell, like young, like you said, high school or college athletes who don't have a coach to help them with this, but feel like they might be struggling in that area? Maybe you started playing sports really, really young, like football or soccer or basketball, and you've been playing that one sport just the last 10, 20 years. Or maybe you have regular injuries in a certain area and you're thinking, maybe this has to do with my movement and that's why it's been happening regularly. So what can we recommend to them? Like, what's a realistic way that they could improve their movement competency?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I will tell them that to think that you are supposed to feel great like your body's supposed to feel great every day is like a lie, right? If you're an athlete at whatever level, like this is the thing you've chosen to do, whatever sport it is, like you, it's a lie. Okay. Right. Comma, just because you feel like stiff on like one side one day or sore on the other does not mean that your leg is going to fall off and you're injured. Okay. So you need to, like, with that, you need to make recovery and the care of your body and movement a part of your, just your habit, period. So if you're a basketball player and you go work on your shot and you shoot, you know, 100 shots and you shoot, you know, 1,000 free throws because you're working, you need to think about your body that way and your recovery. So that's, I'll just like start with that because that's like the message that I like preach. I don't like to talk about injury prevention because that's not,
we like, can't prevent periods. So reduction is the best we can do.
Thank you. You can't prevent. I mean, dude, if I could prevent injury, listen,
I sure as hell wouldn't be on Instagram.
This microphone would be gold. Literally, it would be a gold microphone. You know,
my hair wouldn't be looking like this.
Okay. I would be doing this podcast from my private plane. But anyway,
but on Puerto Rico. So.
You know, so it's not injury prevention. Okay. So it's again, and I'm very passionate about this because this is like my jam, right? So I figured, okay, if we can learn to do recovery, that's my thing. Don't skip recovery. You are constantly aware of how your body feels. And I think that's important. So, you know, so what can a high school athlete or a college athlete do that doesn't maybe have access to somebody one-on-one that can constantly be in their ear or be present and telling them, hey, oh, you're feeling some tightness in your back. Hey, do this. Or, hey, here's like a 5-minute, 10-minute routine after you have back-to-back games or after you have training sessions that you can do while you're watching TV. Like, this isn't complicated stuff, right? Then I would say, like, you need to, like, listen to your body. You need to work on kind of your, going back to like the neurological stuff. I love having like a lacrosse ball. Mm-hmm. That's simple. That's like the thing I give to all my athletes. Have this in your bag. Yeah. Why? Like, people think like, oh, if I have a knot, I'll just like jam it with the lacrosse ball. I'm like, all right, well, sometimes that can work fine. But even having that is like, I think like as a visual kind of like tangible thing, we're like, okay, what can I do with this ball? Maybe I can just roll the bottom of my feet. Mm-hmm. That's going to do a couple things. Like, it's going to kind of wake, you know, get those sensory receptors in the feet, because God knows, like, we're in shoes all the time.
Yeah.
Right. So kind of even doing that, like, slowly. Great. Even just like the rolling of it around your body, honestly. And again, we're not trying to like jam and like create bruises on your body. But you're rolling around, it's gonna make a difference. And you're gonna find some spots that like, man, I need some help with this. So I think starting with something like that and getting yourself into the habit of having a routine, mm-hmm. you know, just like you have a routine of how you grab your sneakers, how you put them in your bag, how you set your bag, just like you have a kind of a routine to, you know, before a game, this is what you do. You always have this snack. You always, you know, go take a pregame dump. Come on.
Anybody who doesn't is lying.
Is lying. You know, just like this is your go-to drink. You know, you're you like to have the Gatorade, or like, no, you're a coconut water. No, you got to have this. Okay. These routines that we all have as athletes, you need to insert into that a recovery routine. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking like 10 minutes tops.
Yeah.
What does that look like? I mean, it's going to vary, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, you know, you got to do stretching, this and that. It's going to vary by individual. It's going to vary about like how you're feeling. But I think if you start there, you will go a long way, because now you're going to make that part of like your, you know, your core kind of like foundation as an athlete. It's just part of what you do. Then I think that's going to take you a long way. Hopefully that made sense.
Yeah, recovery is super important. And we've done podcast episodes on that as well, like the in-depths of recovery for poor people. And, you know, like, you don't need to spend 10 grand for your morning routine. That's stupid. There's very simple things we can do to improve recovery. But I think what you hit on that's really important is there's a lot of things we can do for our bodies that actually improve those brain-body connections that improve the proprioception and that at the end of the day also improve how we move and how we don't move.
Absolutely. And listen, and I'll add to that, you don't need to, yeah, like you said, spend all this money to then have recovery. Mm-hmm. Listen, I love me some Normatec boots and all that. Great. But you know, it's like what, $1,500,
$1,250. Not realistic for everybody.
Yeah. I don't know. Not realistic. Great. I love me a Hypervol. Great. Feels great. Okay. There's a lot of crazy debate about that stuff, by the way. Like, yeah. People are like, so where's the research that, you know, we're not going to get into that, but needless to say, like very hot, you know, massage gun or whatever.
It's fancy and people want to have it. So
fancy, it's cool, right? Listen, all the time there's going to be new gadgets and tools and toys and fancy equipment that comes to the market, you know, under the label of training, under the label of recovery. Great. I'm not bashing any of it. I think anything and everything has its use within the right context, but that's what matters. The context. So if you're looking for an answer that is straightforward, that is like, what do I do for this? Or does this work?
I don't know. You know,
my answer is always yes. It just depends on when you need to do it.
Yeah.
And how you apply that, right? So I'm huge in context. So don't think that you need to go out and buy a certain item to then have this recovery thing down. I tell my athletes, you need to take responsibility and be active in your recovery. It's your body, right? And yeah. I will add to this, recovery doesn't just mean laying on a table and getting a massage. I'm not bashing massages. They're great. Again, they have their place. But if you're an athlete, you're a high school athlete thinking, man, like, I mean, the only way is to get a massage. And like, I don't have a job. And like,
it ain't.
And I can't get a massage. And I need this. Like, oh, well, then I'm just going to go ice. Like, all right, let's not even get into that right now. But like, you're wrong. Okay. You need to take active responsibility. Sorry. I'm like throwing stuff. I'm like, oh man, don't even get me started on that. Like, like, I'm like adding like fuel to my own fire. I'm like, okay, now.
You're like
now.
Working yourself up like, God,
right? Don't do it. Not now. But you know what I mean? I just want to encourage you as an athlete, because it's, you don't need that, you know, yeah. And you don't necessarily need to hire, you know, somebody like one-on-one and pay all this money. Like, I get it, but you need to start there, take responsibility for it. And, you know, start thinking about making, you know, movement part of your like recovery routine, yeah. Period. And I think that is the start. And I will say, shameless plug, that is exactly what I am creating. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to drop this right now. If you go to don'tskiprecovery.vip, okay. Ooh. That's right. VIP. Okay. don'tskiprecovery.vip. You'll be able to, kind of get first dibs on exactly this. A program I'm putting together for that, because I want to have it be a resource for high school athletes, college athletes, to be able to know, hey, what do I do? That's probably the biggest question I get. I'm so sore. My legs are dead. What do I do?
Yeah.
And guess what? You don't have Normatec boots, you know.
Nobody's offering answers.
And nobody's gonna give you a massage, you know, like for free, unless, you know, you have a boyfriend or girlfriend. But they probably don't even know what they're doing.
And
so
let's
like,
be serious, you could rub a man's head for 24 hours and he will put his hand on your back for 10 seconds and be like, okay, all done.
Exactly. So again, I go, I'm like passionate about this. This is it, because I, you know, I'm all my years working with high school athletes, like that's, and collegiate athletes, I think that is the key. That is the unlock. And when you first take responsibility for your body and realize like, okay, learn to understand like, okay, I'm feeling kind of stiff here today. Like I need to spend time there to set myself up for a great training session, or to set myself up for a great game, great practice, et cetera, then now I think you've actually really set yourself up for success, both performance and recovery for sure. And also sleep. Y'all need to sleep.
Hell yeah.
Stop playing Fortnite every night until 3 a.m.
Close your eyes.
Like, it's, you know, so that's rant over.
I love it. I love it. So I'll post the link to that. That's don'tskiprecovery.vip in the description. And your Instagram at is at athlete remedy.
Correct.
And that's her business card as well. So if you'd like to get in touch with her.
Absolutely. And honestly, DM me. I live there. It's so exciting.
You will respond within 2 minutes.
It means so much to me, truly, when I get DMs and, you know, from people asking me a specific question about their issue, and like, we'll go back and forth. I mean, I'll get on like a video, like, listen, do this. Like, I truly, like, honor that. Like, it means so much to me that people would think, would trust, you know, kind of their body, their questions that would, you know, value my opinion. And so I take great pride in answering to everybody and helping everybody out. So yes, DM me, follow me there. That's kind of where I keep everything current, and you'll get to know what is happening. But yeah.
Do you do consultations in Spanish as well? I know some of your posts are in Spanish.
Yeah, I do. Because of my connection with Puerto Rico, it's been great. Again, the power of Instagram. I've been able to connect for years. I remember I would go back home in college for summer and trying to like find out who's in the sports medicine world. I just want to intern. And like, I just had no leads. And now, you know, more than a decade later, because of Instagram, I'm like, oh yeah, I am connected with all these people. And with that, yeah, I do. I also, you know, in Spanish, that's my first language. So,
that's so awesome. That. So for all my Spanish speaking followers, when you need to connect, when you need a consult, you can hit up
that's
Michelle.
It. Absolutely.
Because we all know that I can barely get hola out. So let's be serious. The German American in me said,
you got that German though. I mean, that's
German. German is another beast, but I was lucky to have that early. So
yes, that is another beast.
Taken care of.
Yeah. I was actually in Germany.
Not this year, you weren't.
I was not this year. Definitely not. 2019, April 2019.
Okay.
I was in Munich.
For basketball stuff?
I was actually with a soccer team, a U.S. youth soccer, like ODP group, and we worked like Switzerland, Germany, and Czech Republic in work. 10 days.
Work.
What but I was there. I got – huh?
What teams did you guys play?
Oh, I do not remember. I don't remember like their exact name. But it was like, it was a tour. So we played teams and clubs in those three places. It was awesome. I got to go to a game in Germany.
Probably Bayern.
Oh my God. It was not Bayern. We got a tour of the Bayern Munich stadium, campus. Which was wild.
It's crazy, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes. But we went to a local, I can't remember because like, I probably can't pronounce it, but like the electricity.
Yeah.
Like, that you would feel, I'm like, oh, this is it. Like, this is no wonder this is so embedded in the culture.
It's kind of like church for us. Church
to religion. Women. It's religion. Yeah. I see it. Yeah. Anyway, so
football.
No. Exactly. But I did not pick up the language.
Yeah. How long have I been speaking German? Not sure if I got it either.
It's tough. Yeah, it's tough to be.
Well, thank you so much for coming. I feel like we have a lot more to talk about, but that was your basic overview and movement competency and working with providers as early specializers and not early specializers, whether you're a generalist, whether you're a specialist, what you need to do, how to recover, how to gain proprioception, how to get more coordinated, and basic neuroscience and neuroanatomy. So we love that overview in 45 minutes.
No big deal, man. We covered some ground.
We covered some serious ground, so thank you.
But I feel like we could keep going. I mean, this is...
It never stops.
It never stops.
Never.
I love it. Well, I thank you so much. I had a blast, and I look forward to, you know, connecting with your audience, connecting with you some more, and, you know, keep on moving.
Hit up Michelle for all your movement needs.